I'm John Kroll. On today's No Limits, we're going to talk about the ways colleges and universities are trying to market themselves in an increasingly competitive era. Specifically, we're going to discuss the way Butler University is using its live mascot to sell the school. My guests will be Michael Kaltenmark, Butler University Director of External Relations and Butler Blue 3 Handler, and Matt Mendrum, the university's Vice President of Marketing and Communications. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the innovative ways that colleges are marketing. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the ways that Butler University is using the new mascot, Butler Blue 3, otherwise known as Trip, to sell the school. My guests are Michael Kaltenmark, who is Butler University's Director of External Relations and Butler Blue 3's handler, and Matt Mendrum, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, John.
It's good to have you here. And I should invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You also can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, let's start with let's talk about the ways that you are using blue now as a marketing, I don't want to... He's a living creature. I don't want to call him a marketing device, but a part of your marketing team.
I call him a little furry marketing machine. So don't feel bad, John.
Okay.
We use them in a lot of different ways. And really, if we can find a way for Blue the Third, or Trip, as we call them, to support those strategic mission items for the university, then by all means, we're going to do it. And most recently, you know, we've taken the dog on the road. We were in Omaha yesterday, and he serves a lot of different roles when he's in town. He does a little bit of social media and marketing on his own, goes and does some sightseeing. He does alumni relations, naturally, a little bit of recruitment, goes and sees some prospective students in these various areas. And then, of course, goes to the basketball game, gets himself on TV, and does his mascot role as well. So he does a lot of different things, very versatile, and we're able to leverage that to achieve a lot of certain strategic business items at Butler.
How did you guys settle on this idea, really, of expanding the traditional mascot's role? Because, you know, in most cases, it really was the mascot was supposed to run out and whip the crowd up at a ball game or something like that. Now you're really sort of using him as the brand for the school.
Yeah, he really is a brand ambassador. And thanks to social media, has a bit of a voice, has become a bit of a spokesdog or a spokesperson for the institution, which is nice because as mascot, he gets to have a little edge to him, right? He gets to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, where some of us might not be able to do that as official spokespeople for the university. So that's fun to manage. But when I took over as the mascot handler, say 10 or 11 years ago with Butler Blue II, I was really thinking with my PR and marketing hat on. Mm-hmm. I'm a public relations graduate of Butler University, so I think in that realm anyway. And I thought if we're going to have a mascot, we should really take full advantage. And I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I had an idea. And I think I started moving in that direction at that time. I mean, there was no, I got the job with a handshake and a pat on the back. There were no rules, there were no guidelines. And if you give me an inch, I'm going to take a mile. So I kind of ran with it. And then I think with the advent of social media and two Final Four appearances, it's sort of expanded and grown into this, this thing now.
Matt, what has this expanded role for Blue done for the university? I mean, what benefits do you see coming out of it?
Yeah, you know, I think it's certainly there's a huge awareness benefit that comes, as Michael mentioned, with the two Final Four runs. But Tripp has really kept that, and Blue 2 before him have really kept that momentum going for the university. And now, of course, the basketball team's performing really well again. But it's great to know that we've got a mascot who's going to keep audiences engaged, even in a down year, potentially for the basketball program. You know, so much of marketing is about creating great first impressions and great experiences for your audience. And I don't think I've ever seen a device or, as you called him earlier, that lowers folks' guard to a greater extent, that provides a better first impression for the university and really invites folks to learn more about Butler.
We are talking about the new and innovative ways that universities are marketing their schools. Specifically, we're talking about Butler's use of their live mascot, Butler Blue 3, the bulldog who represents the school and is now increasingly the face of the university. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, what does the fact that Butler Blue is a dog, Tripp is a dog, do rather than say a different mascot live? What is it about him? I mean, you've been around this that generates you know, clearly what you're trying to do here is tap into a reservoir of affection.
Absolutely.
And what generates that affection?
I mean,
yeah,
we're fortunate that we are the Bulldogs, right? Yeah. And then we have a live one. And,
yeah, at my school, sending a grizzly bear to people's doors
might not
be reassuring.
A bit intimidating.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not like a mythical phoenix or something. It's a real-life dog that, you know, people can attach themselves to. I think Matt hit the nail on the head. When we make a first impression on someone, we really make an adoring first impression, and it lets the guard down for folks. It makes our university approachable, and I think it gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling, quite literally, and that's very much in our advantage. I've had other counterparts at you know, various institutions tell me how much they wish they had a bulldog as their mascot as a result of what we're doing.
You know, I joined Butler just about 18 months ago, John, and when I went out on the first Big Dogs tour, the second Big Dogs tour, my first Big Dogs tour last year, traveling around the country, I asked Michael, I said, you know, what's the plan for each of these stops? You must have it programmed out. You must have talking points. And he sort of said, no, we just go in and wing it. And I didn't understand initially how effective that would be because you don't need a plan when you walk in there with Blue. Folks are going to come over, certainly be drawn to him, engage with him. And the rest sort of takes care of itself. It's incredible.
So how do you make the choices about how you use him? You know, I mean, in what context? I'm presuming that, you know, you don't take him to, you know, donor calls and board meetings, for example.
Well, sure, why not? I mean, wherever, you know, he's requested, you know, if it makes sense strategically for the university, if it can achieve a certain goal, then anything's in bounds, I think. The other things you have to consider is, you know, you don't want to put the dog in a situation that's not good for him or that compromises him and his behavior. So you have to look out for those sorts of things. But for the most part, I consider everything to be on the table to start with, and then we can sort of pick and choose from there. But as Matt mentioned, you know, we do this Big Dogs tour every year around basketball season and go to different markets. A lot of things are planned. Don't get Matt wrong there. I don't completely wing it. But at the same time, we will make stops at certain places. And I do remember we went to Groupon in Chicago, and Matt said, so what's the rundown? What's the plan here? And I was like, oh, well, we'll just go. And we're supposed to meet these people. We'll just take it from there. And I think an hour and a half later, we left. We ran into four people that were Butler alumni we didn't even know worked there. They came out of the woodwork. I think we took a picture with about 90% of their staff, basically wrecked productivity for the rest of their workday, and it was a raging success. And all we had to do was pretty much show up. So it's just amazing what that dog can do. The presence of a live mascot is just, I mean, you just can't buy that.
How do you choose which place? I mean, it sounds like there are more requests to have Blue come places than, you know, any dog can possibly get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without bad, and there's only episodes of bad behavior.
And there's only one me, right? Yeah. One of me to take him around.
You travel with him all the time?
Yes, I do.
Is that part of it?
Yeah,
okay.
And I have other responsibilities at the university besides the live mascot guy. I do community relations and some PR and media relations and social media. And so, unfortunately, I don't get to focus all my time and attention to him, but certainly a lot of it. And so we have to be a little bit picky and choosy about what we do. We do get a lot of appearance requests. We just can't do them all. There's just not enough hours in the day. But it's almost easier when we go on the road to these different markets, because then we can be picky. Sometimes it's easy because some places just won't let a dog in. Mm-hmm. But certainly we try to use his credentials to get in the door where we can. We've leveraged the power of our state senators to get him in the U.S. Capitol building and things like that, which is mm-hmm. amazing photo ops, great social media material. We do have to be picky, but if it makes sense, if we think it's good for marketing, it's good for recruitment, it's good for public relations, whatever, we're going to try to get the dog there and make it happen.
How does he have to travel? I mean, is that I would think, you know, the two of you, we book a flight and you're on your way, but...
Sure. He has the Blue Mobile, which is a Ford Transit that's donated by Don Hines Ford here in Indianapolis, and it's all done up. His photo's on the side. It's got Butler branding, and so it's hard to miss us driving
down.
Yeah,
it's out in the parking lot.
Down the road. And so the Blue Mobile is his primary mode of transportation. But yesterday when we went to Omaha, for instance, when the men's basketball team played Creighton, our men's basketball team had a chartered flight with some extra room on it. And so we were able to just hop on that. He got a window seat and enjoyed the view. He does fly occasionally, but usually that's a private chartered situation. Otherwise, we're putting four wheels on the road and heading where we need to go.
What's the farthest he's gone?
He's been as far east as Boston, and I think Omaha is as far west as he's been. South, he's been to Knoxville, Tennessee, and north, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So by and large, you do try to confine it to places that you can drive to relatively.
Absolutely.
I mean, Boston's a haul.
It is.
That's not one day with a dog.
But when your former head coach now coaches the Celtics, it's worth the drive. And he got to take in a Celtics game, so it was worth it. For the most part, we restrict our travel to Big East cities. Mm-hmm. Now that Butler University is a member of the Big East Conference, it just makes a lot of sense for us to go to those destinations and try to make a name for Butler while we're there.
Are there places that you just absolutely won't send him that you don't think? I'm going to ask that from two perspectives. One of them is obviously it's not the right place for a dog, but also you don't think that it is the right place for the Butler brand, or at least that manifestation of the Butler brand.
Yeah, I think I don't think the dog is a great crisis communications tool. I don't think we'd put the dog out in a situation where we're trying to manage an issue of safety, for example. But to Michael's point, you joked earlier, John, about the Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's an annual tradition that the Board of Trustees insists on having Blue there for the picture of the full Board of Trustees, among other things. So outside of that, certainly priorities are, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, the competitiveness of higher education now and recruiting.
We're going to talk more about that here.
The best students, and that's our top priority, is getting him engaged there. But we engage him in as many places as possible.
And then what places, like you just because Michael, as I understand it, in addition to being his handler, he pretty much lives with you,
right?
So you get to know the dog very well.
Mm-hmm.
Are there situations, he's just not going to do well there? We cannot. It would not be a good idea to send him in there and just freak him out.
Yeah, we get these dogs at 7-8 weeks of age, and so they're on the job from day one. So they're kind of used to, large crowds and lots of distractions. I'm not really worried about those things. I guess, quite honestly, I would never, put the dog under the plane like luggage or anything like mm-hmm. that. We'd drive in that case, and then probably wouldn't go anywhere where we'd have to be quarantined, like Hawaii or an island or something like that, which is unfortunate because Butler tends to play preseason tournaments at those places, but we don't get to go.
So basically it's anywhere that you can drive to.
Yeah.
And any place that allows dogs. Well, we are going to talk about some of the larger, the strategic ideas here behind using a live mascot and the way Butler is using it to differentiate. We are talking about the innovative ways that colleges are marketing using live mascots and other devices. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are from Butler University, Michael Kaltenmark and Matt Mendrum. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about the ways that colleges are doing different techniques of marketing. Specifically, we're talking about Butler University's decision to really ramp up the profile of its live mascot, Butler Blue 3. My guests are Michael Kaltenmark, who's Butler University's director of external relations, and is also Butler Blue 3's handler, and Matt Mendrum, who is Vice President of Marketing and Communication. Well, what we talked about is really kind of the ways that you use blue right now. Mm-hmm. Let's step back from that and talk about the why that prompted you to say, okay, we need to figure out a new way to differentiate Butler from all of the other schools that are out there. And then we're going to talk about the environment to some degree that has produced this. I'll start with you on that one, Michael.
Well, the key word there was differentiate. And when you look at your institution sort of introspectively and you talk about what makes us special, what makes us unique and different, you end up making a list that if you took it to any other university that or college that's like you, chances are it's going to be a pretty similar list that they've generated as well. So it's tough in the competitive marketplace that is higher education today to differentiate yourself. And having a live mascot right away is a differentiator. And then I think the way we've been able to leverage the dog and use the dog is a differentiator. We're not the only institution, certainly, that has a live mascot. But I feel like personally, we're one of the best in the country, if not the best, at using a live mascot and using it to our advantage. So I think that's a differentiator. And then what that allows us to do, as we talked about earlier, is it gives the university a unique voice, a new perspective, thanks to social media. And now we have a dog that is a brand ambassador. And as we talked about earlier, the dog sort of breaks down walls and barriers, and people can identify with a dog in a weird sort of way. And if he's doing your talking for you, people are getting that message. What's the beauty of it is the Butler people love the dog, right, because it's their mascot. The dog transcends the Butler bubble. That's the beauty of it. Now we're getting to reach an audience that we never would have reached before, because they're dog lovers or they're interested in the dog. And that's the beauty of this whole thing.
Are there other schools that use live mascots this way? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean,
University of Georgia with Uga.
Uga comes to mind. There's Georgetown Jag at Georgetown University. Yale has Handsome Dan. Of course, I'm thinking of all the Bulldog schools, but evidently LSU has a tiger, and there's some
My guess is the insurance company just loves that.
Sure, right? There are some undomesticated animals out there as mascots as well, but there are a handful of institutions. Bryant University has a Tupper, their bulldog. I think Mississippi State has a bulldog. If you have a bulldog, chances are you have one. Texas A&M has Reveille. So there's a lot of live dog mascots, but again, I haven't found an institution that does have a live mascot using it to their advantage quite like we are.
And Matt, I'd like to talk a little bit about the environment. I mean, what the reason that you now have to work so hard to differentiate your school. I mean, some of it, and I'll set the backdrop. I mean, to some degree, higher ed's going through a kind of revolution right
yep.
now, in that even the state schools, most states are cutting back their funding. The days when, you know, 80% of a state university's budget would be provided by state funds is over. The most generous now are doing about 25%, which means that they're being thrown into competition in a lot of ways with private and independent schools like Butler.
That's right, which is why we've seen tuitions increase among publics by a lot more than they have among privates over the last 10 years or so. It's interesting because to add to what Michael said, I think that we're really confident that Butler is a differentiated school. It's widely recognized for a lot of things. Number two among Midwest regionals in the U.S. News and World Report rankings. We're recognized for experiential learning, for graduate outcomes, et cetera. But teaching getting folks to hear that message is very difficult when there's so much noise, whether it's the stack of mail sitting on your high school sophomore, high school juniors table every day that's come, or emails, honestly, even worse these days. Emails effectiveness has dropped.
College students don't really
dramatically
use email anymore.
And so social media becomes so important, and having some stopping power. Whatever you're using to reach out to those prospective students and families and others. And I think that's what's so great about the mascot program trip, both because of his social media strength and because of his unique stopping power. It gets folks to stop, pay attention, and listen to a story. And we think our story is a really great and compelling and differentiated one to tell.
We are talking about the innovative ways that colleges are marketing themselves these days. Specifically, we're talking about Butler's decision to use their live mascot, Butler Blue 3, otherwise known as Trip, as kind of an ambassador for the school and the brand. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'm going to ask a somewhat indiscreet question. I mean, you know, would this strategy have worked nearly as well or even at all if, you know, Butler wasn't on its way to some degree to becoming the Duke of the Midwest, you know, the small school with high academic standards who now seems to be becoming an NCAA basketball powerhouse?
I think that's a fair question. I think what happened was in 2010 or in even yeah. before is I was able to build a foundation of social media presence for the Dogs. And at that time was Butler Blue the Second. So he was on Facebook, he was on Twitter, YouTube, you name it. He was on it. He was active, doing his thing. And then voila. Mm-hmm. You're in the Final Four. So he was at that point, he was just one Google search away. When people saw on the CBS broadcast mm-hmm. this cute, cuddly, furry bulldog mascot, mm-hmm. they had to just do one Google search, and you found his profile on Twitter and YouTube, and they're thinking, man, this dog's got a voice. This is great. I love this. I'm going to follow this. So it was a perfect storm, if you will. Now, in the wake of two Final Four appearances, it just means we have a very large following, and as I mentioned, it extends well past the Butler faithful. And I think that's what two Final Fours has done for us. Remove those, I still think we're just as active. I still think we are very successful. We just might not have quite the followership or be quite the household name in the markets we go to.
And John, I think it's yeah. important to remember that that basketball strategy was a deliberate strategy, just like Duke, the example that you gave. Investments were made by previous administrations and coaches and athletic directors at Butler that helped to create those opportunities. And yes, of course, it was a perfect storm that led us to those two consecutive Final Fours. But I think to a large extent, the university made our own luck in that sense. And then, as Michael said, the mascot program in blue and Michael were ready to capitalize on it.
Well, let me ask this. I mean, it was part of the thinking also with using blue as really the face of the university, the fact that it is, you know, he is even, I realize, you know, we're talking about Butler Blue 3, presumably at some point there will be a Butler Blue 4,
four, five, and six,
seven, or eight. You know, to the degree that we'll use the Duke parallel
sure.
again here for a little while, that to some degree the face of Duke is Mike Krzyzewski, the Coach K, and that there has to be some concern, I would think, at that university is, oh, what do we do when he retires? the idea that you've created, in effect, a brand that will never retire,
mm-hmm.
I would think would also have to be an advantage.
It is an advantage. We've seen it in play. We had a much more attractive coach than Mike Krzyzewski leave our university recently named Brad Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, would that have changed things if Coach Stevens had stayed?
I don't know. Who knows? But I think the beauty of it is Brad moved on, and you're right. We still had a Butler Blue Live mascot program, and we hope that continues in perpetuity, and I think people can latch themselves onto that rather than just one person at the institution.
And one of my favorite stories from Brad is when he was still at Butler, that a family walked up to him, and he was getting ready to be asked to take a picture with the family, and the family just asked Coach Stevens, do you know where Blue is? Do you know where Blue is? So I think this journey had already started while Coach Stevens was still with us, and I think it's a great point, this idea that we're better equipped perhaps than most universities
to
move through transitions because of the program.
Well, and I guess it means that you're basketball coach has got to be able to put his ego on hold.
Our president.
Got to be an understudy for a dog.
Our president as well, as he'll tell you.
Yeah. We've gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Danielle, and if you'd like to reach out to us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits, WFYI. You also can find us on Twitter at WFYI. Give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Or you can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Danielle says, I read my little 3-year-old boy Blues book almost every night. I work on campus and told him I was going to Butler. He asked if I was going to see Blue. He loves Bulldogs now. Is that the kind of emotional reaction you guys get all the time with this?
And what's great about the scenario you just shared is we're getting the Butler brand to people who are so young, mm-hmm. that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and they're going to latch on to Butler at such an early age that we hope that loyalty sticks. And so subconsciously, when they're thinking about going to college, when they turn 17, 18, subconsciously, they're already thinking about Butler, and then they're consciously making that choice and joining us for 4 years.
We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Shannon, who sort of talks about that from another point in that journey and says, what has been the response to the new idea of having Butler Blue 3 deliver some of the student acceptance letters? First, I got to ask, how does the dog deliver the acceptance letters? I mean, are they in his jaws and kind of snobbery when you show up at the door or what? How do you go about doing that?
It was about a year and a half ago, when we were dropping off 5,000 or so acceptance packages in the U.S. mail truck out front of Robertson Hall at Butler, that a couple of us asked, why doesn't Blue just grab a couple of these and drop them off with folks? And we didn't have time to make it happen last year, but this year, as the time again approached, again coming back to this personalization, customizing our approach and the experience that we create for every single one of our admitted students. And current students, we thought it'd be a great idea to try it. Typically we'd be worried about tearing or getting drool all over the packets if we put him in his jaw, I think.
It's sort of an important moment for the young person.
Yeah. So we didn't, but he's there and with us when we're out, when Michael and his team are out delivering them. Get some great photo opportunities, some great social media. And we actually recorded just a fantastic video as well that does have Tripp actually licking the envelopes and running them down the street to somebody's house, so that everyone, even those who we weren't able to visit in person, could at least have a video experience of Tripp delivering their admit packet.
How do you coordinate something like that? I'm assuming that a lot of the effect is ruined if the person isn't at home, for example.
Yeah, so
they sort of have to know what's coming.
When we go to a market, whether it's Milwaukee or Omaha or wherever, I'll ask our admission staff to tell me who is our honor accepted student list, and then they'll give me a list, and then I'll reach out to the parents. I usually call or email the parents and say, hey, we're going to be in town with the basketball team. When your son or daughter gets out of school on this day, do you think we could stop by and surprise them and congratulate them on being accepted? And usually the response is, you know, very positive with a lot of exclamation points. And we set up a time and show up and surprise the student, which is a lot of fun as well. I mean, you got two types of students in that situation. The ones who act like Publishers Clearinghouse just showed up and they're ecstatic and fist pumping, and then the others who are in complete shock, and you can barely get a word out of them. And then when we leave, I get a text from mom or dad that says he or she is over the moon and just can't get over this. And so it's a lot of fun to do. I think it makes a big impression, and certainly drives home the point that come next fall, we hope that these students show up at Butler's campus.
Gotten an email from a listener named Sharon, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Sharon says, what types of marketing tactics are most effective today when branding Indiana colleges and universities? My alma mater is still using broadcast, print billboards, direct mail, and other forms of traditional media. Are these effective?
Yeah, so I mean, I think as always, it depends is probably the best answer to that question. But I think we continue to see evolution in terms of which channels are most effective and which tactics are most effective. You mentioned billboards. Billboards actually are more effective than many other mass communication techniques because at least most folks are still looking straight forward while they're driving their cars. Despite the fact that the same can't be said for TV, of course, broadcast, unless you're advertising in big live sports events. Often folks are skipping over commercials by using DVR on demand. Radio, there's been a ton of fragmentation as well in where people are listening. So it's become more and more difficult to reach mass audiences. The opportunity that's created is much more micro customization and working to deliver digitally, so over the internet in some way or to your mobile phone, customize very segmented messages. And that's really what we're trying to do. And Blue is one tool in that arsenal, but certainly there are many other things that we're doing as well.
What? How much of this was predicated also by the fact that you know, it seems clear Butler was not satisfied with the place it had in sort of the higher ed marketplace at that time, that there was an aspirational quality to this, that you were, you know, what were your goals in setting out this strategy?
You know, it's I guess I'd go back to the Butler way here, that certainly talks about humility, but always seeking improvement, always trying to get better. And I think, like so many other universities and organizations, we're not satisfied with the status quo. We want to offer more to our current students, to our faculty, to our staff. We want to offer even more than that to our next generation of students and faculty and staff. So, you know, we've got a strategic vision right now outlined called Butler 2020, which is really focused on doubling down on the things that we do really well in helping to prepare students for successful careers, fulfilling lives, and meaningful impact in their chosen fields. And so it's really that vision for the next 5 or 6 years that has driven us to make the decisions we have to invest behind the mascot program and then behind many other strategies as well.
And I presume, obviously, that you know, there are certain schools that obviously have to work hard at marketing. Are there schools that don't, you know, like the Harvards, the Yales that you know, have maybe a 1 in 20 acceptance rate?
Yeah, there's a very, very small echelon of schools and that have far more applicants than they can possibly deal with and who have yields north of 80%. So when they admit a student, they have an 80-plus percent chance of getting that student. There's only a handful of schools in that list. Butler's certainly not among that list today, although certainly we are among the most selective schools in the Midwest in our category with U.S. News and World Report. But there are maybe a few schools that have a strong enough brand that in the short term they could stop those marketing efforts. But in the long term, everyone needs to be marketing because that reputation is so important.
We are talking about the ways that Butler University is using its mascot, Butler Blue 3, otherwise known as Trip, to sell the school. My guests are Michael Kaltenmark, who is the Director of External Relations and Butler Blue's handler, and Matt Mendrum, who is VP of Marketing and Communications. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the innovative ways that colleges now are marketing their schools. Specifically, we're talking about the ways that Butler is using the Butler mascot, Butler Blue 3, otherwise known as Trip, to generate good feelings for Butler University. My guests are Michael Kaltenmark, who's Butler University's Director of External Relations and also is Butler Blue 3's handler, and Matt Mindrum, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communication. We were really talking about the challenges of figuring out in an increasingly competitive marketplace how to individualize your school, make it stand apart. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about schools that really don't have to focus an awful lot on marketing. When you settled on using blue this way, you know, what was the message that you were trying to communicate to people about what makes Butler different?
You know, I think one of the messages that Blue delivers so effectively is that message of a personalized approach. Butler's got small classes, an 11-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio, so you do get a very personalized approach, and I think Blue's, of course, great at setting that tone from the very beginning.
I also think as a Bulldog, he embodies everything that a Bulldog is. And whether you're a student athlete at Butler or not, we consider ourselves to be Bulldogs. So we're tenacious. We don't settle. We go out and we get what we want. But we're also loving, affectionate, and loyal. And so I think, obviously, he is a Bulldog, so he fits the mold quite well. But he's very much a daily reminder of what it means to be a Bulldog at Butler for our entire community.
I've got to ask, Michael, how did you get drawn into the task of being the Butler Blue handler? This is the second
I've had, and third in our succession. So, right place, right time, John. I was a 2002 graduate of Butler University.
Okay.
Started on staff, actually in the development division, wherever I could get a job, and because I knew I wanted to be in higher ed. I didn't think development was it, but I wanted to be there, and I knew that I just had to get on board and make my way from there. We at that time we had Butler Blue, the first, an all-white English Bulldog female, owned by Kelly Walker, who is a member of our alumni staff. And in 2004, Kelly announced that she was leaving the university and heading west, and she had made arrangements to take the dog with. And so I think I was probably the first person to put my hand up to say, are we going to get another dog? And if so, can I be the guy that takes care of it? The answer was yes, and we were off to the races. So met with the breeder, selected a dog from the litter, brought Butler Blue the second home at 8 weeks old, and I've never looked back.
How do you go about selecting?
I let the dog. I definitely let the breeder do that.
Okay.
We use Frank King out of Liston, Indiana, and he has some great Bulldogs. Frank has not only been breeding Bulldogs for longer than I've been alive, but he's also an AKC registered judge. He shows them, so he knows what he's looking for. At 8 weeks old, they all just look like puppies, right? But he seems to know what would make a good mascot.
Well, they all look like Winston Churchill.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But he knows what he's looking for, and I let him pick, and the rest is on me from there.
Okay, we have gotten a tweet from a listener named Richard, and if you would like to reach out to us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can do the old-fashioned thing and just pick up the phone and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Richard says, how have the jumps from Horizon to Atlantic to Big East changed Butler's marketing, now competing in Big East Coast cities for attention?
Matt. Yeah, you know, I think it, John, it reflects that question you asked earlier about sort of never being satisfied with the status quo. It's been an incredible journey, and I've only been at Butler for 18 months, so I've only experienced the second half of that journey from the A-10 into the Big East. It's been tremendous. It's there are new markets that we're now able to go access. We've done some things recently in some of those new markets, like in Washington, D.C. and in Milwaukee, to try to build on that earned media that occurs when the basketball team's out there and engage prospective students and families within those markets. That's been really successful. So certainly we're doing our best to dip our toe in to those markets with more than just an athletic presence. There's also lots of academic partnership that's percolating with some of those schools in the Big East. It's a great set of academic institutions as well, and Butler's proud to be among them.
Walk me through one of the visits when you've taken Blue somewhere. And, you know, again, you say he's a great way at getting people to lower their defenses and pay attention, to listen to you. Once he's done his job and gotten them to pay attention and listen to you, what story do you tell?
You know, that question's great, because we had a blog post that we actually saw early this week from a father who had been on campus with his son last weekend for our Butler Business Scholars Program. He's an admitted student in the College of Business, and he came in to interview for some academic scholarships. And then also they stuck around and went to the Butler-Villanova game on Saturday last week. And to me, it was the perfect example of how absolutely Blue is a great tool, but he can't be the only tool. Mm-hmm. And once you do get somebody drawn in, which certainly Blue was a part of that, the student had been to campus once before, had a great interaction with support staff at the College of Business, and that's just a reminder of how important it is for everyone on your campus to be really engaged and ready to provide that personalized attention to visitors and prospective students. But that student came and visited the first time, had a chance to get a picture with Blue and engage with him. He applied. He was a strong student. He came back. He was admitted. He came back to interview for academic scholarships at the College of Business. He had personal attention the whole day when he was here. He had a chance to spend time with the dean. He and his father did, and then they were on campus for an admitted student event prior to the game. The most interesting piece of this, from a personal attention aspect, and he mentioned this in the blog, was that they'd forgotten to buy tickets to the game, and an admission counselor from Butler actually noticed that they had not yet purchased tickets and sent them a reminder, hey, there's only a few tickets left. You might want to get those tickets. So that level of personal attention really gave us the opportunity from soup to nuts to just provide a great experience for this student and the father, and now we're confident that student's going to be joining us in the fall. We think that's a great example of how the mascot program opened up a door, and really everything else at Butler that we have to offer helped to complete the picture.
Is there a downside to using a live mascot as, you know, as in effect the face of your, well, I'm thinking efforts have really stepped up here with Butler Blue 3, right? I mean, you're doing more of this, using him more than at any time before, but there was a Butler Blue 2. I would think, and, you know, I may be projecting here, you know, dogs do not have endless lives, that you'd have to manage the mourning period fairly carefully.
Yeah, we tiptoed around that a couple summers ago when Butler Blue 2 passed away from congestive heart failure. But as a marketer, I will say that just about everything's an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to think that we handled that situation with a lot of sensitivity in class, but we also used it, I think, to our advantage, and put out an in memoriam video that I think to this day is the most watched Butler video on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Seen as far away as, you know, the Middle East and Japan and things like that. It's really a touching video, and I think it's a great tribute to a great dog. And so I think there's an opportunity to even use those moments to your advantage if you do it right. But certainly, that's the thing. These dogs don't live forever, and you get attached to them, and one day you have to say goodbye, and you have to usher in the new pup, and that's a tricky thing to manage. But we've done it successfully now a couple times, and I like to think that in the future we can continue to do so. But certainly for me personally, as the guy who brings these dogs home at night, that's tough. That's mm-hmm. really tough. I mean, I'm certainly never going to get over Blue 2, and when Blue 3 passes away, the same can be said. But there's also so many exciting things that we do with these dogs. It's a great distraction. I'm able to pick up and move on.
Well, I'm going to stay with you for a second, Michael, and just I would think that's difficult because he isn't just the brand for the school. He's also the pet, the dog, presumably that your kids play with at home.
Yep.
Who is barking to say, I need to go out and go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
And, outside of me, going for a workout, I'm with this dog. I mean, he's with me at work. He's with me in the car. He's with me at home. The only thing he doesn't do is go run or swim with me, right? So I'm with the dog all the time. The dog becomes a part of you. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, beyond just being a pet, you work so hard, you invest so much to bring him as just a crazed pup to a working mascot who's a true professional, and you take a lot of pride in that. You get the dog to do what you need it to do, and to be the best mascot on the planet, and it just really fills you up with pride, and you feel great about it. And then one day they're gone, and that's tough. That's tough to swallow on so many levels. And having lived through it, it was certainly the worst thing I had ever had to live through thus far in my life. And I don't really like to think about it. The beauty is we have such a great history together, Blue 2 and I, that those are the things I think about. I think about taking him to Final Fours and how great he made the university look and all of those things. I tend not to dwell on the final days or hours, but it's part of the business, and it's definitely the rough part.
Well, and I want to be respectful of the fact that there is a personal relationship there. But I guess as a dog owner myself, one of the things I would think would be difficult is that separation that you're talking about. Thinking about, okay, my dog is dying. Somehow through all of this, I also have to protect the brand and advance the message of the university. How do you make that separation when you're doing it?
Well, that? I talk about these dogs being professionals. You got to be a pro too, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about it as a dad of the dog and as the director of external relations. I just can't shut the other off. And so I'm always thinking about it. The other thing is, I'm surrounded by great people at Butler. So when Blue 2 passed away, there was really, quite frankly, little I had to do but mourn my dog. People like Matt and others at the office took over at that point, and I could kind of put it on autopilot, and they did the rest. And so Matt and I sit here today and talking to you. We're just two people that represent a really great team of marketing professionals at Butler, really.
And a great team of faculty, staff, and students overall. And I would just pat Michael on the back and say that those two things, honoring that dog and that personal connection you had with Blue 2 or Blue 3 in the future, is not mutually exclusive from doing the right thing for the university. And I think the way that Michael and the whole team handled Blue 2's passing was just tremendous. Everything was done really, really well. There was never even a whiff of taking advantage of that dog's passing, and yet the outpouring of support from the community was unbelievable. We have a beautiful bulldog memorial on campus now that exists because folks reached out and wanted to give $10 or $20 gifts by the thousands so that we could honor Blue 2 and all the bulldogs that come in the future.
I'm going to ask, so that we can move beyond sort of the sadness here, what's the best moment? Best moment you've had with Michael? We'll build to Michael. Matt, what do you think Blue's best moment has been, the most exciting thing that you have seen people charged up about or whatever? Is it a basketball game, or is it some other moment in which he has been part of it and really is – resonated as the symbol of the school?
So I've got such a short window of experience here compared to Michael, so I'll be anxious for his answer. But I'd probably mention a couple things. The first would be actually the way that Blue 3 came into his own after Blue 2 passed. I mean, it was just fantastic to watch Blue 3, who'd been the intern for the year leading up to that, and had done a great job of it, but I don't think we were quite ready for him to take on the full set of responsibilities, and I think he just did a great job with that. So I can't pick a particular moment there, but certainly his first football game, his first basketball game are a couple great examples of that, and just his interaction day-to-day on campus with the students. But a more recent one, I really do think that these experiences with admitted students have been pretty great for Blue 3 and has gotten us another round of recognition, I think, for doing something new, unique, and really compelling.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah, for Blue 3, I struggle. I take for granted what he does day in and day out now that I've been doing it 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think we've seen his greatest moments yet. So, but with Blue 2, certainly the first Final Four, 2010, here in Indianapolis, I remember beating Michigan State in the semifinal game to go on to the championship. And, you know, the place is going crazy and the players are jumping around. And I thought, you know, we don't do this every day, so we're going to take advantage. So I marched the dog out. I didn't ask anybody. I'm just going to do it. Heat of the moment, put him out center court, tell him to sit, stay. I drop the leash. I walk off the court, and there he is just sitting there. CBS camera comes right up in his face, and they show the final graphic, Michigan State X, Butler XX, and Blue in all of his glory with a big B on his chest, just panting, very proud. I mean, that I'll never get that image out of my head. Like, that is like, yeah, we own this now. Butler has arrived, and this dog has arrived. That was fantastic. And then, you know, you take it from there. He was basically a city ambassador for the Super Bowl a couple years later, and it's just those sorts of moments I'll never forget with Blue 2.
Does he reassure me here? Does he ever get time just to be a dog?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And they love that time. Those dogs, since they start as puppies on the job, they love to work, no question. If I mention anything about basketball or football or just going to Butler, they know those words and they are on. They're ready to go. They love it. But they do like to be dogs, and they like to lay around on the couch and do nothing. And they do like to get out and romp as a dog and just run and play without having any responsibilities or me telling them to sit and stay. So certainly you got to pay attention to that. You got to honor that. They are canines. You know, they have these behaviors. You got to help them along in that regard. But don't get me wrong. These dogs learn early on what it means to be mascot, and they take a lot of pride in it. You could tell they enjoy it. They love it.
Well, and I think that's an appropriate place to leave this. I'd like to thank both of my guests, Michael Kaltenmark, who is Butler University's Director of External Relations and also Butler Blue 3's handler, and Matt Mindrum, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications. I've enjoyed talking with both of you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Thanks very much for being here. Also like to thank our listeners and invite you to come back here on Thursday when we're going to be talking about the status of working families here in Indiana. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.